Moving to 2018 and the report from the Department of Justice regarding False Claims Act, we note that $2.8 billion in recovery and a large number of key TAM suits, as one would predict, and so forth. But if you look a bit more closely at the numbers, you will notice some interesting trends. This is a 17% drop in 2018, following a 30% drop in 2017. That should all be good news, but for the fact, numbers we can all be proud of, healthcare is responsible for 2.5 out of the $2.8 billion in recovery. And this is the ninth, count it, ninth year in a row in which healthcare recoveries under the False Claims Act have exceeded $2 billion. So while the enforcement trends or the trends on recoveries and the False Claims Act in general may be on a downward trend, I don't think we're seeing that in healthcare. If anything, we seem to be, you know, the utility infielder that will keep DOJ's statistics up when Department of Defense and other industries start to decline. Healthcare fraud unit statistics here, I think it's interesting that there are, you know, the number of individuals charged, number of individuals who pled guilty, but what I, the box that compares 2018 to 2017, I think, is the most interesting of all. 56% increase in opioid defendants between those 2 years, 40% increase in number of individuals charged, and a 20% increase in the number of convictions. Those trends, if continuing, would, I think, have some implications for a variety, particularly like the Yates memo, which we'll talk about in a minute, and individual enforcement. Here, this slide, and I want to shout out, Bloomberg has an incredible database, and they have shared that database regarding False Claims Act cases and sliced and diced it in a number of different ways. If you are doing research in an area, the Bloomberg database really is very valuable. Here, what we're focusing on is False Claims Act recoveries solely in healthcare, and focus on the teal. I did have all 64 crayons growing up, so I can do teal and lilac are the colors you really want to focus on here. What that tells me, and I think tells anyone who's really watching, is that key TAM suits are driving the enforcement agenda. Year over year, the teal, which are in intervened key TAM cases, and the purple varies in and out, which are non-intervened key TAM cases, are the vast majority of the recoveries. DOJ is not setting the enforcement agenda. The enforcement agenda is being set by people who are whistleblowers coming out of the woodwork, and I think that trend will only continue. An annual summer event, the National Healthcare Fraud Takedown, occurs almost every summer, and 2018 was no exception. This was the largest one in history. It involved over 1,000 law enforcement personnel, 601 defendants, and an estimated $2 billion in false billings. My prediction is this summer there will be another event, and I will have updated statistics and a larger number of people involved, a larger number of potential defendants. I'm now moving into what I call the memo section, and I'll be dealing with three separate memos that have been issued by the Department of Justice. The first is Sally Yates's memo, going after individuals about individual liability for corporate wrongdoing. This was first announced in 2015, caused a bit of a stir, and I think we have seen an increase in the number of individuals who have been prosecuted. My law school professor once told me that the problem with corporations is that they have no soul to be damned and no backside to be whipped. So what Sally Yates is looking for is someone with a soul who is making a decision that is affecting corporate wrongdoing, trying to get to the effect on the C-suite and the boards of organizations making these decisions. Now, there are a wide range of enforcement actions illustrating the Yates memo in practice. By far, my favorite is the incest therapeutics case. This involved a Subsys, which was its big product, became the darling of Wall Street. It's a sublingual fentanyl spray that is 100 times more powerful than morphine, unbelievably addictive, intended for end-stage cancer patients. If you've been watching social media, you may have seen the drug reps did a rap video for their for one of the big conferences that Subsys had or Incest Therapeutics had, and the CEO dressed up as a bottle of fentanyl, and they talked about titrating, which means getting patients to the highest dosage possible. A number of guilty pleas here, including the company, which agreed to pay $150 million over 5 years, the former CEO. But by far, the best show in town is going on in Boston, sellout crowds to the trial of John Kapoor, the founder, billionaire, and a range of other executives that have not pled out.